as I was thinking about this message, and it kind of goes along with what I had you tell your neighbor just now, but you know, as I preach, and this goes along with the sermon, I'm not lecturing you, but you know, as a preacher up here, as I look back there, there's certain expectations that I have of the congregation. For instance, not to fall asleep. You know, sometimes I know people are on medication. I know sometimes it's been a rough night and you've stayed up all night doing this, that, or the other. And I understand that, but one expectation is not to fall asleep. Another one is not to talk, at least out loud. Now, sometimes you have to whisper. Some things come up, and that's fine. But I expect as a congregation certain things, like to listen. I hope everyone is listening and paying attention. This is a big one. I hope that no one throws anything at me. That's a pretty big expectation. Those hymn books could really, really wallop somebody pretty good. Another expectation, not to walk out in the middle of the service unless you have to. As we listen to the message, that I expect for you to respond if God speaks to your heart at the end of the message. And then also expect that everyone, hopefully by being here today, I expect that we draw closer to God. But you know, that works both ways. As you look up here at me today, you're like, well, I expect certain things from you too, preacher. I can't do anything about my looks, okay? This is as good as it gets. But you expect me, for instance, certain expectations to raise my voice loud enough to be heard, right? Now, if I was up here and I clever this, you're like, man, why did I even come? But you expect to hear me, right? You expect at least most of my sentences to make sense, right? I even try to use, I don't know if I better say this or not, but I try to use proper English even. Bill, I can look at Bill and I can tell by the expression, like, no, I'm just joking. No, Bill's not like that, but Bill, being an old English teacher, can tell me when I'm wrong. But I try to use proper grammar, and that's not a bad expectation. Another expectation for what I say to be biblical. And if it's not biblical, you need to tell me it's not biblical. And you probably, it's just not a good thing, because we're here to look at the Bible, right? Not my opinion, not just my thoughts, but the book that God wrote. You expect for what I say to be relevant, right? To be relevant to today, to be practical. How can I apply what the preacher is preaching from the Bible to my life? You expect it to be practical. And hopefully you expect that it is helpful. That it is helpful. Now, just as I have certain expectations of you during the sermon, and you have certain expectations, that is, of me during the sermon, do you realize that biblically, God has certain expectations for His children? For those that have named the name of Christ, for those who accepted Jesus as their Savior, for those who have been saved, for those that have been born again, guess what? God has certain expectations of us as we journey through this life. You know, the Apostle Peter gives us 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to look at that again, 2 Peter chapter 3. We're looking at God's expectations of us. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to be looking at that in just a moment, but notice if you would, verse 1 of chapter of this gospel, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Notice who he's writing this to. Now that makes a difference, right? He's writing it, says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So, we can learn from that, guess what, that 2 Peter was written to those that have obtained like precious faith. Now, I want to make sure you're awake, okay? What does that mean, like precious faith, obtained like precious faith? When we put our faith and trust in Jesus as our Savior, as our all in all, we put our whole self in the hands of God by faith and say, I believe Jesus died for me on the cross. I want to be saved. I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I confess Jesus as my Savior. That's when you are born again. That's when you are saved. We use a lot of words to describe the same thing. And if you're here today and you're not sure If you're not 100% sure that you are on your way to heaven, guess what? This is the best place I know to settle that. Today. A little bit later at the end of the message, there'll be what's called, we call an invitation. I'd encourage you. Come down and say, "Preacher, I want to get saved." And believe me, you'll never regret it. But as I look at this verse here, this book, this letter that Peter wrote, he was writing it to those who have obtained like precious faith. In other words, he's writing it to Christians, okay? Now, we find in chapter 3 what he tells us, some of the expectations that God has of us. In 2 Peter chapter 3, if you want to follow along in your Bible, if not, it'll be up there on the monitor. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Okay, I'm going to read verses 11 through 18, all right? It says, "Seeing then," writing to Christians, and if you're a Christian today, listen up real close, okay? "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved." What? Do you realize what's going to be dissolved? Do you realize that everything that you see in this world will be dissolved? It says in a few verses later that by fervent heat, the elements are going to melt. Everything that so many people live for is simply going to burn up. So many people, I got to get that big bank account. I got to work on my retirement. I got to get that promotion. I got to do all of those things will someday not matter at all because it's all going to burn up. And Peter's talking, writing to Christians some 2,000 years ago. He's writing to Christians, but it's just as relevant today. He says, guess what? Seeing that everything that most people are living for is going to burn up, then he asks the question. He says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" He asks the question, and it's a very relevant question. What kind of people ought we to be, knowing that everything here in this world is going to burn up? And then he answers it. We covered this last Sunday. It says, "Ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness." In all holy conversation and godliness. First of all, last week we looked at God expects us to live holy. Holy. That means different than the world and set apart for God. Different than the world and set apart for God. And I think primarily when it says live holy, it talks about holiness. It's talking about on the outside is the emphasis, it appears to me. And then he says in that same verse, in all holy conversation and godliness. So he asks the question, and then he starts to answer it. He says, first of all, we're supposed to live holy. Second, we're supposed to live godly. And I think this is probably emphasizing more on the inside. Are you cultivating a close walk with God? Are you walking with God? Are you communing with God? Are you reading His Bible and are you praying? There's two things that God expects of us, knowing that everything's going to burn up. Number one, God expects us to live holy. Number two, God expects us to live godly. But moving forward, I'm going to read now through verses 18, all right? It says, verse 12, "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles or letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know that these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. What does God expect of us? We said God expects us to live holy. God expects us to live godly. But new stuff today. What does God expect of us? This morning, first of all, God expects us to look forward to the Lord's return. God expects us to look forward to the Lord's return. Notice what it says, right after it says, seeing that these things are going to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He says right there, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Verse 13, nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things. You know what? You and I, if we know Jesus as Savior, we got a glorious future to look forward to. Let's try that again. That was pretty good. Let's try that again. If we know Jesus as our Savior, we have a glorious future to look forward to. And we ought to be doing that very thing, looking forward to it, right? Now, if you look at the original idea of the Greek word there, it comes from two Greek words. It means toward and watch. So they put those two words together, toward and watch. So we're supposed to watch toward or anticipate or await or look forward to the Lord coming back. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Kind of has the same flavor to it, the same idea. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you realize that we as children of God can be preoccupied and get so involved in a lot of other things that do not amount to a hill of beans? But we ought to be looking forward to and anticipating the Lord's return. Now, we talked about here, talking about the day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord kicks off first thing, and that's something we should look forward to, what is called the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church. If you turn in your Bible, we're going to take a little bit of time and look at that, for just briefly, but a little bit of time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to look at something we should be looking forward to, the rapture of the church. Now, we're talking about people that are Christians, that know Jesus as their Savior. We ought to wake up every day and say, you know what, I'm looking forward to the Lord's return. And the Lord is going to come in the clouds, and it's described in this passage. Notice what's going to happen. It says, but I would not have you, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, what are you talking about, those that have gone on before? Now, there was some in this church, as Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian church. There was some that was getting all concerned and worried about people that had died. They're like, oh, what happened? They just disappeared. Where'd they go? What's going on? Now, we know that the Bible tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? See, this is just our old shell. And we're going to lay this old shell down, and our soul and spirit for a Christian, like Ryan that passed, the soul and spirit goes to be with Jesus at the moment we lay this old body down. But there's coming a time, that we're reading about, when Jesus is going to come back in the clouds with the soul and the spirit of those that have gone on before, and he's going to call us home. And it talks about, I'm going to read it in just a moment, but guess what's going to happen? There's going to be some sound, and then the graves are going to burst open. And the folks who have gone on before, their soul and spirit is going to get a brand new body reunited with that soul and spirit. You see, our soul and spirit is going to live one of two places forever. And we're always going to have a body, eventually a body that's going to live forever, either heaven with God or hell in torment forever and ever. But we're talking about the rapture. So he's going to bring the soul and spirit of those that have gone on before. The graves are going to burst open. They're going to get brand new bodies. And as we go up, that's what I'm voting for. I'm voting for the rapture. I just didn't go up in the rapture rather than die. But when I go up, and when you go up in the rapture, we're going to get brand new bodies as we go up. So we got a brand new immortal body that doesn't get old, doesn't get gray, doesn't get decrepit, doesn't get pains like we get. Guess what? And it's going to be forever. So this is going to happen, and it could happen any moment. I mean, any moment. Now listen. Listen what the Bible says. Verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord," talking about the rapture, "shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." You know, one thing we ought to be looking forward to is the Lord coming back to take me home. Man, there's going to be chaos in this world. I've seen a movie. I remember as a teenager, I saw a movie called The Rapture. Boy, and there was another one, I think, called The Thief in the Night, you know, talking about the Lord coming back. And the Left Behind series, if you watched any of that, I didn't keep up with that, but a lot of people I know did, followed every single. There's going to be a lot of chaos in this world, and it could happen before we get done. Because nothing has to happen first. We hear a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and every person who knows Jesus as Savior is out of here. And we get brand new bodies. As I said, mine's going to be a lot like Arnold Schwarzenegger used to be. Some of you, who's Arnold Schwarzenegger? Well, he's doing some new commercials, and he can't say neighbor. He can't say neighbor. He keeps saying neighbor, neighbor. Y'all seen those commercials? Okay. All right, but that's who Arnold Schwarzenegger was. He used to be a bodybuilder and all that, so that's pretty much the way my body looks now, but it'll even look better when I get a new one in heaven. As I go up, I'm going to get a brand new body. But the rapture, and we should look forward to that. You know, we get so enamored, so caught up in this world, and oh, woe is this, and everything is bad, and groceries are going up, and gas is going up, and my waistline's getting bigger, and you know, we get so caught up in all of these things, we forget. We need to look forward to Jesus coming back, and God expects us to look forward to that. And can I tell you, we want to be out of here, because when the church leaves, the Christians leave, this world is thrown into the tribulation period. And God pours his wrath. That's what it's called. It says that, describes it that way. God pours his wrath upon the earth. And there's all, you want to read the book of Revelation, there's a lot going on during the tribulation period. You say, can people get saved during that tribulation period? I believe people can get saved. I know at least 144,000 Jews will be saved. But yes, I think a person can be saved during that time. But guess what? You're going to refuse to get the mark of the beast on your forehead and on your hand and trust Jesus and what he did at that point. You will die. You will die. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to go through that. I'd just soon, right now in this age of grace, before Jesus comes back, I'd say, I want to be saved. I want to be saved today. I don't want to go through anything like that. I want to be out of here. But we need to look forward to the rapture of the church when Jesus takes us home. Man, it ended that chapter with "wherefore comfort one another with these words." This ought to encourage us. This ought to pick us up. When we're having a bad day, we ought to say, well, we're out of here before you know it. We'll be out of here before you know it. You know, you ever had a job that you really, really, really didn't like? And you'd watch the clock and watch the clock and watch the clock. Maybe it wasn't a job. Maybe it's a specific task in your job, perhaps. And you're like, I don't like this. And it seemed like it went on and on and on, and you kept watching because you were looking forward to it being over. Well, this world is going to end. You know, it's tough. But boy, I got something to look forward to. The rapture of the church, going home to be with Jesus. Something else I should look forward to. Now, he tells us he expects us to be looking forward to the Lord's return. What else should we be looking forward to? We ought to be looking forward to our new home. Our new home. Notice what it says there. Verse 13. I done turned off of it again. I got to go back. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, notice what it says. Nevertheless, verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wow. You know, we should not only be looking forward to the rapture, we ought to be looking forward to our new home. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 14, he's making a mansion for us. Mansion. Now, hey, let's try that again. He's making a mansion for us. Not a little shack. You know, I know there's a little song, just give me a little cabin on the outskirts of heaven. You know, okay, however you want to do it. But the Bible says it's a mansion. And the Bible says that I'm going to be with him forever. And the Bible says I need to look forward to my new home. You know, I don't know about you, but our existing homes right here have problems sometimes, right? I tell you what. I ought to have bought stock in Flex Seal because I have Flex Sealed my roof so much down in Williamstown. That's what's holding that thing together. I tell you, I Flex Sealed and I've got gallons and I've done this and I've coated and I found. We had a leak there not too long back again. I'm like, my goodness. So I'm up there Flex Sealing on the roof. They I don't know if they think I'm praying on the roof or what I'm doing, my neighbors, but I'm up there putting up Flex Seal. And guess what? Our earthly homes have problems, right? Even if it's in perfect shape, my house is in perfect shape today. We'll wait till tomorrow. It won't be. We ought to be looking forward to our new home. We're going to have a new heaven for this earth, right? Heavens, a new earth because the old one's going to burn up. And we got heaven proper, the New Jerusalem as it's called in the Bible. And we ought to be looking forward to that. You know, we got the city of God that we're going to, you know, some people say, well, are you think we're going to get to enjoy the new earth? Yeah. Why in the world would he make it if he wouldn't let us enjoy it? Absolutely. I'm not a city person. I'm more of a country person. I'm more of a small town person. And guess what? The city of God is New Jerusalem and streets of gold and all that's going to be wonderful. Everything's going to be great. There's not going to be a bad thing about it. But I look forward to the new earth. I mean, coming down here, crystal clean water. You don't have to worry about, can I wonder where I should drink that? Will that kill me if I drink it? No, it won't kill you. In the new earth, you can drink water. The animals won't be afraid of you. I jokingly say, if you're a deer hunter, hey, great days are ahead. You just point your finger like this. Deer be a big old buck, you know, 18 point. Come that way, you just point your finger, bang, bang, and the deer will say, boom, you got me. Roll over and get back up. I don't think there's a chapter and verse for that. But I can tell you, I'm looking forward to the new earth. I'm looking forward to the new heavens above the new earth. And I'm looking forward to the city of God or New Jerusalem. You know, the Bible tells us, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. Now, this is good stuff. If this doesn't put a smile on your face as a child of God, I really don't know what in the world will. Revelation chapter 21. We ought to be looking forward to the rapture. We ought to be looking forward to the new heavens and a new earth and the new Jerusalem. Notice what it says in chapter 21. Notice. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It's going to be duded up. It's going to look really nice, this new Jerusalem. You got this? New earth, new heavens above the earth, and a new Jerusalem coming down out of the sky. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Do I hear a hallelujah? And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, it really gives us a very stark contrast there, doesn't it? It talks about heaven and being with the Lord for those that believe in the Lord and have trusted him. And then it says, but these folks here who never trust Jesus, they're going to find their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. You know what? God expects us to look forward to the Lord's return. We need to look forward to the rapture. We need to look forward to our new home. And we should be looking forward to God being with us. God being with us. You say, how's that? Well, did you notice in verse 3, it says, And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he, that's God, will dwell with them. That's us. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Chapter 22, verse 3 says, And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. We will see the face of God. And his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You know, God expects us to be looking forward to his return. And as part of that, we ought to be looking forward to the rapture. I really think as I go up, who knows what exactly happened, but I would think as I'm going up to be with the Lord, it'll happen in a moment in a twinkling of an eye, I'm just going to shout, I'm out of here! Now, not that there's not a lot of great things in life. There is. God's blessed us with many blessings. I don't make it sound like all gloom and doom, but boy, not one single day in this world will ever compare to a single second in heaven. So we ought to be looking forward to the rapture. If you know Jesus as your Savior, and you know that you know that you know that you're saved, you ought to say, man, I am looking forward to the rapture. We ought to look forward to our brand new home in heaven and the new earth that we'll get to enjoy too with the new heavens above it. We ought to be looking forward to that every day of our life and quit letting this old world drag us down and suck the energy out of us. We ought to say, just a moment, I'm out of here. I'm ready. We ought to be looking forward to God being in our very presence. Man, praise the Lord. I mean, is God going to let anything happen to his children? I mean, God's just right there. You know, we're in the present. Now, this old world's got sin. It's got the curse of sin. It's got a lot of wicked people. It's got the devil. It's got the world's opinion. Heaven's not going to have any of that. And God is going to be there. The gates aren't even going to be closed. The Bible tells us there's 12 gates in New Jerusalem, but they're not even going to be closed because there's no threat because God is with us. So, Christian, we ought to look forward. God expects us to look forward to his return. The rapture when he takes us back. Our new home. We ought to look forward to God being with us. So I encourage you. Now, sometimes Christians are like, I don't know. If you're not looking forward to that at least a wee little bit, and I really think the older you get, the more you look forward to it. Because you're young, you know, and you're looking forward to maybe getting a car or getting your license and maybe going to school and starting your new job and getting, you know, a house someday and finding the one that God has for you and on and on and on. So there's but the older you get, I think we hopefully mature and wise up a little bit more, and we're like, man, I know some folks that have a lot more years than I have, and they're like, man, I just can't wait. So a lot of them say, I don't know why God keeps me here. I'm ready. Come on, take me home. But every one of us ought to be looking for. Now, sometimes, can I say this, Christian? Sometimes we're not looking forward to the Lord's return because we're not living for him the way we should be. Preacher, you've done quit preaching and started meddling. But you know what? Sometimes our lives could be away from the Lord. You say, I know I'm a Christian, but I just don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to pray. I haven't told anybody about Jesus for I don't know how long. Church, forget that. I don't have time for that. Just look how busy I am. Let me tell you, folks like that many times don't look forward to the Lord coming back because they know that we're going to be judged according to our service. Now, we're going to heaven, but we're going to be judged according to our service. Have you served me with your life? And they dread that part. So let me tell you today, if you're not looking forward to the Lord's return, maybe there's some problems you need to deal with. And as we sing a song here in just a moment, maybe you need to come to this altar. As a Christian, you say, I know that I'm saved, but are there things in your life ought not be? Or are there things in your life that should be there? Put it that way. Certain things that should be in your life that's not there. Maybe you need to come up here to the altar and say, Lord, I'm not looking forward to your return like I should because, you know what, I wouldn't care what anybody thinks. I just do business with God. But you know what, you could be here today and you say, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know if I've trusted Jesus. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Or if the rapture occurs in the next moment, then I'm going to go up with Jesus. I'm not so sure that I'm not going to be stuck in this world with the wrath of God poured out upon this world. Can I tell you, can I encourage you today? If you're not sure, as we probably I'll have Amy play on the piano, and I'll have every head bowed and every eye closed most likely, but would you come out and say, Preacher, I want to be saved. I want to know that when Jesus comes back for Christians, I'm with him. I want to know that if I breathe my last or some accident happens in my life, and I leave this world, I want to know that I'm going to be with Jesus in my new home with no tears or sorrows instead of that dreadful place called hell. And both of them last forever. Last forever. If you would bow your head and close your eyes, would you mind standing to your feet as well? Amy, if you'd come to the piano, please. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, Amy's going to start playing the piano. Nobody looking around. Let me ask you, first of all, Christian, are there some things in your life that you need to get right with the Lord today? You're not really looking forward to the Lord's return, probably like you should, because there's things in your life that shouldn't be there, or some things that are not in your life that should be. Serving the Lord and prayer and reading the Bible and telling people about Jesus and things such as that. If God is speaking to your heart today, would you slip out of your seat? About the easiest place I know of, the easiest way that I know of to respond to the message is slip out of your seat, come to the altar, pray to the Lord, ask the Lord to help you, to look forward to his coming back, and in the meantime to be doing what God wants you to do. Anyone today, God's speaking to your heart, I'd encourage you, don't leave this place if God is speaking to your heart. God doesn't promise that he'll speak to our heart every single service, but if he's speaking today, you better listen. Let me ask this as well. Are you here today and you say, you know what, preacher? I don't know that if I die today, I'd go to heaven. Or you might say, if the Lord would come back and take the Christians home, either I'm not sure if I'd go or I know that I wouldn't go because I've not trusted Jesus as my Savior. You know, I didn't say going to church. I didn't say doing good things to your neighbor. The only way to be saved is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. Asking him to forgive you of your sins. Asking him to be your Savior. telling God in prayer, I believe Jesus really was your son who died on the cross to pay for my sins and came back to life. If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, or you might say, I flat out know that I'm not saved, would you step out of your seat? This could be the best day of your life. Would you step out of your seat and come forward and say, Preacher, I want to be saved. We'll rejoice with you. We'll talk with you about it. If you're not even sure, if you want to come forward and say, Preacher, I want to talk to you after service, that's fine. But would you step out? Would you move forward? Life is short. And let me tell you, life is unpredictable. Life is short. Life is unpredictable, as we know. Anyone today? Step out. I wouldn't worry about what anybody thinks, because ultimately what matters is what God thinks. Anyone today? Step out of their seat. Say, I want to be saved. I want to know I'm going to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know Jesus as my Savior.